It's the All Songs Considered Plus One podcast. I'm Robin Hilton, and Bob Boylan is away this week, which means that we get to have NPR Music Stephen Thompson.
That is how low you've sunk.
Yes. Honestly, we asked all around. Nobody was available, so we got Stephen. Stephen does the Good Listener column for us on the NPR Music blog. Each week he answers a question from listeners like, can I ask loud talkers at concerts to shut up? Is that okay? That was one of them.
A lot of musical etiquette questions, yes. Which are some of my favorites.
Was We Built This City really the worst song of all time?
Maybe my favorite question ever.
Your headline, I think, was Leave We Built This City Alone.
Well, that's because it's not the worst song of all
right,
time.
Right, right. But then last week, in your column last week, you got a question from a listener who asked, can a song really save your life? You know, people, big music fans are always, my wife always complains that I'm, the hyperbole I speak in whenever I'm talking about a song, it's the greatest song of all time.
It saved my life. Without it, I'd be dead right now.
I literally would be dead. And what was your answer?
Well, the first thing I said was look in the comments, which is a piece of advice I almost never give in any situation. But I was like, wait a day and look in the comments of this piece, and you will have people telling their stories of how a song actually saved their life or saved their friend's life or saved a relative's life. And lo and behold, people did that. People told these very heartfelt, heartwarming stories of how, you know, a song was so incredibly important that if nothing else, it changed the course of their life. But in several cases, I was on the brink. It pulled me away from the brink.
Right.
And then I talked in a little bit more detail about the idea of songs as catalysts and songs as ways of accessing emotions and solutions that are locked away in our minds, that songs allow us access to things that don't come easy to us. And so they can be, for people who really gravitate toward music, they can be an incredibly powerful, important, and life-changing, and perhaps even life-saving thing.
Your column actually tied in really well with a call-out that we did, which was tell us about a song that makes you cry every time you hear it. And sure enough, yeah, all the comment we got.
How many did you get?
We got over 7,000 stories from people. God. And we're going to talk more about those on an upcoming podcast. But I cannot tell you how many people wrote about how they heard the right song at the right time. And if it hadn't been for that, they may have ended their life. There was one woman named Jenny who wrote that she said, this song quite literally saved my life, about Cat Stevens' father and son. She said, I'd run away from home at the age of 20 with my toxic boyfriend to Savannah, Georgia. We planned to commit suicide together on the beach.
God.
While driving around Savannah, this song from Cat Stevens came on the radio. She says, I was familiar with Cat Stevens, but had never heard this song before, and it spoke to me in ways I can't even explain to this day. It's as if those words snapped me out of my stupor. Mm. I immediately changed my mind about suicide and decided to go back home and get rid of the toxic boyfriend. I was 20 then. I'm 39 now, but if I hear that song, I immediately tear up and realize that in some way it truly saved my life.
Wow.
And you're right. It's like you have to accept the idea that we don't have full access to our own minds.
Right.
And that hearing this song is a key that unlocks a door that we couldn't find.
Well, and sometimes they can also unlock good judgment. You know, that's I think part of that. You know, is you carry around your own perspective, but songs are windows into the perspectives of other people. That's part of what's so beautiful about them, is you're getting access to the emotions of people other than yourself. And so they're windows into other ways of thinking, and that can have a very positive impact on your judgment.
And also make you realize that you're not alone, because, you know, when we're consumed with grief, or in a moment when we're not, you know, those are usually the moments when you feel the most alone. And when you hear a song that is somehow articulating how you feel, or helping you to see things differently, you feel like you're not alone. And that's somehow empowering and uplifting.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I can't pinpoint a song that saved my life. I thankfully have not been in that position, but there's a song I come back to again and again whenever I'm at my lowest. And there's a line from it in particular that just plays in my head like a mantra. And the song is called Your Ex-Lover Is Dead,
which is a
little more morbid than the sentiment that I'm referring to. It's by a band called Stars, one of my favorite bands from Canada. And throughout the song, it's basically a chance meeting between two former lovers. And she has much greater access to emotional wisdom than he does, which is kind of a recurring theme in their music. He kind of pretends he doesn't know, you know, who she is, but they meet in the middle and they sing this line.
Live through this, and you won't look back. Live through this, and you won't look back.
So, live through this, and you won't look back. And how many times there's a Mountain Goat song called This Year, and it's I'm gonna make it through this year if it kills me, which is another line that has charged through my head in bad situations, just having gone through the usual array of life knocking you down that everyone experiences at a certain point in their lives. For me, the way those songs function as mantras, I wouldn't necessarily say like they've saved my life, but they've met me at my lowest point and soothed me and been there, and I will always be grateful to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, even on a very simple, common, everyday level, I can be in the foulest mood on my way coming into work, and the right song will come on, and it completely reconfigures my whole day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the complete collected works of Andrew W.K.
Party.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you ever play a video game, like a fighting game, and there's like a little thermometer, and it shows how much energy you have left.
Right.
And it gets down to like a little sliver, and if you take one more punch, you're dead. That little thing gets down to a sliver, and I will listen to the album I Get Wet by Andrew W.K., and it just goes all the way to full. And, you know, again.
Well, we'll call that record I Get Wet, and we'll say that's the musical equivalent of a defibrillator, right?
Like, yeah, oh, yeah, clear!
Put this on, like, yeah, or we were talking earlier with Linda Holmes of Pop Culture Happy Hour about it, and she says it's the equivalent of stop, drop, and roll for music.
It's a song that teaches you a valuable instruction.
If you're on fire, listen to this, and it will literally save your life. Well, we'll let the song by Stars take us out, but before we go, you field questions from listeners, and you want to know what's on people's minds.
Yeah, please, for the love of God. the questions from readers and listeners are the engine that keeps the column going. It is the hardest thing to come by every week, because that's the topic of the column. It's determined by people who write in. So if you have a question that you would like to see answered in an advice column about music, please email allsongs@npr.org or tweet at allsongs.
Okay, thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Robin.
For NPR Music's All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton.